Hi everyone, you're listening to WMUC Digital College Park. This is The Pit Wall. I'm your host, Bianca.
And I'm your host, Haley.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about just some things that happened in the first week of this impromptu spring break. What we have on the menu for today is some talk about how the FIA is proposing to change the regulations for this season. There's a couple different ways that they've proposed to make the regulations a little more manageable this season. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about just general information and general happenings in the Formula One world this week.
And today's musical theme is music from video games in honor of the FIA meeting in order to kind of figure out the regulations during this kind of impromptu spring break. And, you know, all the different comments that have come up from different drivers. Leclerc mentioned this, as well as Max, who said that the cars are kind of like Mario Kart. It's like the mushroom from Mario Kart feels like a video game, those types of things. So we're going to be hearing from a lot of different artists, from some common ones and some not so common. And we are also going to take a listen to a quick PSA. So we will give that a play right now. All right, here, we'll be right back.
How much physical activity do you get? The average adult is supposed to get at least 2.5 hours of moderate aerobic activity and 2 days of muscle strengthening exercises per week. That sounds like a ton of time for the average college student trying to balance homework, internships, studying, clubs, friends, and sleeping, right? Well, if you break up your exercise routine into a few minutes here and there each week, it becomes way more manageable, and you'll feel stronger, healthier, and more focused. Some easy ways to do this are taking the stairs instead of the elevator, going to a fun dance class at the ERC, or enjoying the great outdoors by running or biking on the Lake Artemisia Trail.
All right, we are back. Hey, Bianca, is that mic working?
I don't know, is it? It is not.
It is not, guys. All right, come here.
Okay, we're back to sharing a mic again for this week.
We are going to have a little bit of talk about the regulations. So for those who don't know, the FIA has decided to have a series of meetings with the one this Thursday, I believe, is going to be online. Between the team principals and the FIA members, where they are going to figure out some ways to improve the 2026 regulations as soon as Miami. They're going to try and implement some changes. However, some longer form improvements are going to have to be deliberated for a lot longer.
Yes, they've even released an official statement basically saying sort of things along the lines of like, the regulations have been an ongoing discussion between the FIA, the teams, the power unit manufacturers, the drivers, all of the moving parts of Formula One. And basically, I have the official statement pulled up right now, but I don't want to just like read it off verbatim. So they were saying that it has been the consistent position of all stakeholders that a structured review would take place after the opening phase of the season, aka China, Australia, Japan, and that they would look into seeing how they can change the regulations to better benefit every party involved in the Formula One season. That was basically the gist of their official statement. And in lieu of their meeting on Thursday, there's actually six sort of proposed ways to fix the 2026 regulations that they released. So I'm gonna tell you guys all six, and then we're just gonna talk about which ones we think would be best.
All right, number one, what approach do you think they'll be taking?
So number one The first option is to simplify the regulations so that the race outcomes depend more on driver's skills and less on like mechanics, engineering, all of that. The second one is to increase the power of super clipping from 250 to 350 kilowatts. This would help fix the LiCo problem, but it would also mean that they would have to manufacture like totally new engines and car parts. The third option is to reduce the rate of energy deployment so that the available power doesn't deplete as quickly. The fourth option is to lower per lap energy recharge limit from 9 to 6. It would also reduce the need to LiCo, this suggestion, but it would make the cars just slower in general. So, you know, fix one issue, create another, I guess. The fifth solution is to allow active aero, which if you guys have been listening in, you know, is something that they sort of began to implement this season in their cars, active aero. So this fifth one is to allow active aero to be used at any point in the circuit instead of approaching it in qualifying, instead of using sort of that like DRS zone approach with active aero. This would be similar to sort of how they had unrestricted DRS and all of that in 2011 and 2012. And then the sixth option is sort of the most long-term option. It's to shift greater emphasis to the combustion engine and reduce electric power unit dominance. So this season it's sort of a 50-50 split. Last season it was like a 70-30 or an 80-20 split, I want to say. So basically this long-term solution and or goal would be to sort of focus on that combustion aspect of the engine and basically bring back, you know, sort of non-electric engines.
So my preliminary thoughts when I heard these is that two, like you said that, you know, this would completely change the engines and stuff like that. But some of the biggest issues that people were running into was due to the power surges that were occurring with the new engines and stuff like that. How, you know, the increase of power, like depending on, you know, whether or not it was anticipated or just in completely like unsuspected circumstances, like people are just getting like significant amounts of power that even caused like some collisions in some cases and some close calls.
Like that Oscar Piastri power surge that caused him to DNF from the race.
Yeah, exactly, that one. So initially when I like see these, like increasing the power of super clipping from 250 to 350 kilowatts, I see how it might help, you know, like the lift and coast issue, but I think it's going to trade off in just making a, like digging them into a bigger hole in terms of the hard to control aspect of the new cars. But I think that six is an even more interesting approach, just completely abandoning like the kind of eco-focused transition, you know.
I mean, personally, I think honestly that would probably be my favorite choice. Obviously that wouldn't really help like the short-term issues that we're facing right now, so maybe a different approach that is more immediate would be good. Like, I don't know, simplifying the regulations a little bit, just, you know, allowing for wheel-to-wheel racing to occur. But I do think you know how I feel about the V8 and the V10 and the V12 engines.
I knew you were about to say that. I was just thinking, I was like, people are like, they grieve the V10s and stuff like that. Like, they would love to hear that again on track, have that type of power back
myself
on track.
Included.
Bianca included and me included. You know, I'm a little bit more like anxious about the, you know, hearing loss that's gonna happen to everyone. But I think, you know, seeing V10s back on track would be awesome. But
it's actually, with the split that they're proposing an 80-20 split, which would actually be closer to the V8 engine.
So, right back where we started, huh, guys? I think that, you know, with F1 purporting to be, you know, more like eco-minded and stuff like that, and working to be like not a sport of conspicuous consumption, as some might argue, I think that backtracking a little bit for the sake of the quality of the racing, for the quality of the sport, might pay off long term, because they shouldn't like dig their heels in immediately for, like, you know, this one option. Like, sure, it's 50-50, it's a lot more green than any other F1 like year has been, regulation wise. But is it worth it? Maybe another approach is more suitable.
Yeah, and I know a lot of drivers and team members have come out and said, basically, Max Verstappen being most notably one of these people, that, electric engines exist for Formula E. Formula E cars can be eco-friendly. Formula One cars should have, more combustion engine sort of. That split should be leaning more towards combustion engines and less towards electric engines.
If he doesn't want them to have electric engines, I think after, oil is phased out completely, I'm excited for the F1 cars that are just like magnets on a big, like, fictional superconductor, like a big, like, maglev train. Like that type of thing?
Yeah, like the cars that people from like the 70s thought were going to exist by 2025.
Precisely. So congratulations, Max. Here's your monkey's paw wish. It's been granted, but have fun tilting the big like superconductor marble that you now steer. So I think that would be fun. Are there any other of the regs that come to mind for having some interesting approaches to solving this issue?
I think that the one that's sort of the most interesting, the least detrimental, and would require the least, like, alterations of the car would be just to allow active aero in all areas of the circuit. Right now, the idea that they proposed would allow for active aero to be open during all parts of the circuit only in qualifying rounds, rather than like during the Grand Prix itself and during everything else. But I think that if they're trying to mitigate the effects that the, faulty batteries and the surges of power and everything, is happening. Sorry, I lost my train of thought mid-sentence there. I think that would probably be the most beneficial approach because it would allow them to keep the cars that they have while being able to sort of mitigate that issue a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they want to just completely scrap the cars halfway through, especially with all of the R&D that has gone through to this. So that was a little bit of a summary on the potential solutions for the crazy 2026 regs. But we'll touch a little bit more on them and more after we listen to a little bit of music. So I've got this split up extremely starkly. We've got some like metal and rock songs courtesy of Hades and Doom, two very cool video games, and then we've got some calmer stuff and more lyrical, more ambient instrumental pieces afterwards, and of course I couldn't leave out Minecraft Deltarune Portal and some jazz covers of Plants vs. Zombies songs. Why not? Let's do it. So since, some of these songs are a little bit long, I don't want to leave you all out to dry for the entire metal section. So we will be back after two great songs, Out of Tartarus by Darren Korb from the Hades video game soundtrack, and Rip and Tear by Mick Gordon from Doom. All right. Enjoy, everyone. All right, and we are back. Let's have a close out this little section where we're talking about the regulations. Earlier I said registrations. When I was talking about these, I was like, oh, we need to talk about the registrations.
Well,
so
first you said reg, and I was like, what's reg? And then she's like, well, the registrations for next season. I was like, oh.
It's been a long week. It's only Tuesday, but leave it be. So we talked a little bit about, you know, the decreasing the super clipping power,
increasing.
Bleh. Increasing the, see what I mean? So increasing the super clipping power, changing so that active arrow can be used anywhere, and then prioritizing the combustion energy to, you know, kind of prevent that Formula E, like, what is it, carcinization, where everything evolves into crabs? Yeah, so whatever that is. But I think, you know, like, the idea where it's, like, reducing the rate of energy deployment, I think that's a really good idea. Preventing it so that power doesn't drain at a comic speed, I think would really help the pace of the races, because the entire time that I was watching, like, you would see them, like, try and go for an overtake or something like that, or even just, like, you know, like, braking, like, you would see just the cartoonish amount of change in the power, like, from the charging, and then they would, like, just completely exert the battery just to get, like, something that DRS would do, like, very quickly, like, last year. And so I think, can they just do a big Frankenstein of all these ideas, please? I think that would be great.
You know, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. I think that there's definitely some solutions that are better than others. I honestly kind of, I definitely don't want them to lower the per lap energy recharge limit. I think that, you know, the drivers are already complaining kind of about how cars are slower this season than they have been in previous seasons because of the need to LiCo all the time and because of that sort of like need to recharge energy wise. I think that it'd be great if they could sort of combine ideas. Like, I think that the active arrow being able to be deployed in all parts of the circuit instead of just like certain, you know, active like overtake mode areas would be a fantastic idea and would be an idea that doesn't require the, you know, teams to modify their cars too much. I also would like to point out that there's definitely certain things that are more attainable now during this like short little month-long hiatus or like impromptu spring break. I think that, you know, if they could allow active aero now maybe and then use summer break to sort of recalibrate certain things, reinvent their engines, reinvent their power units in a way that's, you know, achievable in the like 2 months that we have for spring break, I think that would probably be the most beneficial. I do, however, as a V8 engine lover, think that they should definitely go back to having, you know, focusing more on that sort of combustion engine rather than like the electric engine that the cars have now. But that's just because I love the sound of the V8 engine. Sorry guys, I know that's not very eco-friendly of me.
So with that, if I had to pick absolutely one of these options to implement, I think that I would go with, you know, I agree. I think that we would both decide to prioritize the combustion energy and reduce the electric power dominance. However, I do think that just simplifying the regs is a close second. And
probably the easiest to deal with, too.
That as well. And I would say that the least viable or least exciting option would be lowering the per lap energy. So with that, we might come back to some more metal later, but I kind of want to take a hard turn into some more ambient music. So we have some songs from Minecraft and The Last of Us that we're going to be playing. So some classics from the wonderful open world game Minecraft. I've spent so many hours in that game. Are my personal favorite. Fun fact, I can play this on piano. I love the song. It's absolutely wonderful. Wet Hands by C418 and Mice on Venus by C418. And then we're going to finish off this part of the ambient section with All Gone Seasons by Gustavo Santaolalla, which is from The Last of Us. So We got two Minecraft songs for you, and then enjoy some songs from The Last of Us.
Thank you.
All right, we are back, and I just realized that Bianca is still wearing the headphones because I asked her to babysit the board for me. I feel like those, like, dads who say that they babysit their kids. Isn't that crazy? But here we are. Yes, Bianca, you can also have the mic.
Thank you. Sorry for deafening you guys at certain points. Those songs are bouncy.
They were very dynamic. I don't know who mixed that, but bless them. Still bangers. So that was Wet Hands by C418 from the Minecraft soundtrack, Mice on Venus by C418, also from Minecraft, and All Gone Seasons by Gustavo Santaolalla from Life is Strange.
The Last of Us.
Yes, that's true. Wait, we were talking about The Last of Us because Bianca looks like, Chloe? Yeah, Chloe.
That is Life is Strange.
Wait. Hold on. All right, it's been a long week. Anyways, so I was thinking before we came back, last year we had Nico Hülkenberg get a podium, and I'm wondering, who do you think is going to be like the wild card podium this year?
Pierre Gasly.
Pierre Gasly? Honestly, with how he's doing, I agree. I think that...
Or Ollie Bearman.
I think those are both pretty probable, you know, like they're in like fair mid range, you know, kind of like midfield, not doing too awful. And also Pierre is handling the Alpine pretty well, not road hazard as we've seen before. So I think those are, you know, some viable options.
Speaking of Alpine not being a road hazard, sorry guys, I don't know where my voice went for a second there.
Mm-hmm.
I have the team standings written down, actually, from, you know, Japan, and it's a shocking list. It's a shocking order.
There's some good news on it, isn't there?
There is some good news for both of our teams. Mercedes is obviously in first, and they're currently leading with a 45 point gap already.
Oh my days.
45. They're at 135, the closest team, P2, in constructors right now. Ferrari is at 90.
That's nuts. I can't believe what? Honestly, how I think that the math at the end of this year is going to be crazy. I remember people like pulling their hair out, especially Piastri fans, being like, okay, guys, it's fine. If the stars align and like the moon is in this certain phase and Verstappen just doesn't turn the car on, then we will win the championship. And so remember to wear your pajamas inside out and, like, I don't know.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Keep a rabbit's foot in your pocket. I don't know.
Flush a spoon. Keep some ice under your pillow.
Take your superstition pick and just run with it.
Yeah. So I think that this year's kind of scramble to the finish math is going to be even crazier.
Yeah, it is, especially because, you know, the regs changed. And so some of the teams that we once knew as lower midfield are actually upper midfield, which... Alpine being one of them.
Very surreal.
Yeah. They're currently P6 in the constructors. Alpine.
Whoa. Honestly, there's not much more to say other than that.
Oscar's shaking in his boots right now.
Okay, leave him be. All right. Tell them the news about Ferrari. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's good news and bad news about Ferrari. So Ferrari at the beginning of the year was P2.
Speaking to the mic when you say it. Don't eat it. Stop. Bad.
So Ferrari at the beginning of the season, as I have said time and time again, you know, as the diehard Tifosi that I am, was second in like how fast their car was at the beginning of the year.
I'm just realizing that we're that our outfits are matching. I'm sorry. We're really professional. I almost called you Bianchi. Finish your sentence.
Sorry guys, you behind the scenes, Haley just like whips out her phone and starts taking photos of her shoes. I got a little sidetracked there for a second. So yeah, Ferrari is no longer the second fastest car on the grid.
Oh,
McLaren is. Yes.
Oh.
Right.
However,
with that being said, they are planning on bringing the... Well, actually, I don't know when they're going to bring the Macarena wing. They were supposed to bring it to Suzuka, and then they had some sort of issues with, like, opening it and closing it on the straights and, like, the curves and all the turns and all of that. So the Macarena wing is still TBD on when they're going to install it in the car, but they're going to have some engine upgrades that they're going to bring with them to Miami. So that's pretty exciting. We'll see how that ends up working out for them.
And with that, let's listen to a little bit more music, because I couldn't help but add some of my favorite songs from Game. Yes, you just Bianca says I love Toby Fox. Yeah, I do too. So, Toby Fox, the incredible one-man show behind Undertale and Deltarune. Personally, I never played Undertale when I was younger, because my little sister played it, and that meant that it was my job as an older sister to dislike everything that she liked. But I have all of my background knowledge to love Deltarune. So, My Castle Town, a beautiful waltz. Yes, you can waltz to this. I have waltzed to it before. Well, I do ballroom, by the way. This is My Castle Town by Toby Fox and Acid Tunnel of Love, also by Toby Fox, from Chapter 2 of his game Deltarune. So, enjoy.
Thank you.
All right, we are back. You just listened to My Castle Town by Toby Fox from the game Deltarune Chapter 2, and Acid Tunnel of Love, also by Toby Fox from Deltarune Chapter 2. I absolutely love, as I said, My Castle Town. I find it to be an extremely calming song, very nostalgic for me. I think it's wonderful. And fun fact, you can actually hear the clicks of his keyboard around like the 30-second mark, but it's like kind of distributed throughout, but it's very prominent then. But, you know, I just think it's ambient in a way. It's like, you know, almost like crickets. So, enough nerding out. Bianca is begging for the mic back.
She keeps stealing it to announce the songs and then not giving... Guys, we're on one mic, by the way.
Yes, of course. Long-time listeners, aka people who tuned in at the beginning of the show, yes, would know. But some updates for you fake fans out there. We are, in fact, sharing one mic.
Because the mic that I usually use is evil and doesn't actually work. But yeah, I get what you're saying about the ambient music and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of like some soundtracks that I just... This is a complete tangent from like Formula One entirely, but like the Last of Us soundtrack I use to like lock in when I'm studying, which, you know, just coincidentally happens to be because it's like one of my favorite games ever, of all time. But it's also just really good study music. So, you know...
See, yeah. Personally, I can't study to music. The most I can do is put on classical music, like Romeo and Juliet Overture. Like, there's this specific performance by the London Symphony Orchestra that I think is fun. But whenever I listen to music, I'm like, wow, whoever picked this, it's me. Whoever picked this is great. Whoever picked this is a genius. This song slaps. This bangs. I'm going to spend the next 3 minutes either humming to myself, singing, or just dancing in my seat, and I'm not going to get anything done. So that is why I do not listen to music while I study, and if so, it has to be something that I'm sort of impartial about. But we actually have quite a fair amount of music to share with you guys today, and we're getting close to the 50-minute mark. So I think that, you know, shall we play, like, two more songs, you think? And then see them off for the night? What do you think?
Yeah. And then we will, you know, we have 3 more weeks of this, guys. So 3 more weeks of no races, unfortunately. But after that, we'll be back in Miami talking about racing.
And next week, we are going to be, you know, setting up some various games like Would You Rathers, What Have Yous, quizzes, and stuff like that. So...
couple of two truths and a lies, spot the difference games.
Oh yeah, spot the difference. Let's just beam it right into their houses. Let's go. Every single listener gets a free projector, and you can sync it up with the show live.
If you give us your address, you'll get one.
If you give us your address, you'll get one. Please don't Federal Trade Commission, wait. don't get us, please. We don't have any money. We can't give you anything. With that, let's take a listen to Still Alive by the Aperture Science Psychoacoustic Laboratories, which is the Spotify name for the Portal soundtrack. And then we are also going to listen to a cover of Loon Boon from Plants vs. Zombies from a jazz album called Reeds and Seeds. So this cover of Loon Boon includes I'm Russell Official, Madeline Music, Linus Kuhl, and Nico Mendoza. So enjoy these two songs. All right, here we go.
This is a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat con for the people who are still alive. Thank you. baby black Mesa. That was a joke, ha ha, that chance. Anyway, this cake is great. It's so delicious and moist. Look at me still talking when there's science to do. When I look up there, it makes me glad I'm not you. I've experiments to run. There is research to be done on the people who are still alive. Then believe me, I am still alive. I'm doing science and I'm still alive. I feel fantastic and I'm still alive. While you're dying, I'll be still alive.
We'll be right back.
Yes. All right, we are back, and Bianca is about to send something out on our story. We are interested in your F1 hot takes and your 2026 predictions for us to take a look at on air next week and beyond.
Yes, so if you guys have any takes or predictions or anything of that sort that you want to share with us, go ahead and go on over to our Instagram, which is at thepitwall, thepitwall.wmuc.
All right. And with that, that is all we have for you today on The Pit Wall. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Haley.
And I'm your host, Bianca.
And we will see you next week. Good night.